scripture today is Isaiah 55, a fantastic chapter, and you might notice some correlations to what we were studying in Proverbs with wisdom crying out recently. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while the Lord might be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord.
Thanks, David. let's pray. Father, as we come before you and hear your word, we ask that you would illuminate it in our hearts, where everyone is at in their own journey, as well as where we're at together as a community of faith. Lord, may we read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest your holy word. Might it have its way with us. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I've been trying to get sick this week, and I have had some success with that. So if I start coughing or something, I apologize. But the big idea in this passage is this. Whatever we do out of anxiety and fear will absolutely suck the life out of us. But whatever we do out of love is life-giving. And we say this because this is the way God is and has revealed himself to us in this passage. If you'll open your Bibles and just follow along, it's going to be brief. It's just going to be some points there we're going to go and all. But it begins, and it begins, like David said, much like the wisdom literature in Proverbs, and all, but we're in a marketplace, and we've got vendors out there, and the Lord's voice says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and sell, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. This is calling us to a better way of life. This is calling us to a life that is full of human flourishing. It is not simply get your bread and your water so that you can survive. But it's, listen, what I have is the best. I have wine, I have milk. This is stuff, human flourishing going on here. Not mere survival, but flourishing. And it's free. It is grace. Come to me, is what Jesus says. Come to me. He then goes on and asks a rhetorical question. For why is it that you, what does he say here? Why is it that you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? How many of you feel like, maybe you've reached the age where you feel like, I'm that hamster in the aquarium on that wheel. And you just feel like you're going around and around and around. And you wonder, or the Greek myth of Sisyphus, where this guy, Sisyphus, would roll this rock up to the very top of the hill. About the time he gets to the top of the hill, it would just roll right back down. Have you felt like that in life? Okay? This is the brokenness of this world in which we live. And we look for satisfaction in these things. And we seek to try to fill our lives with activity and with accomplishments. And there's a whole industry on how we can get more done in the time that we have. And I don't think that's what God has for us. He doesn't have a better way of us doing things. He has a way for us being, how we are to be here. And he says this, okay, he says, now, I've asked you these questions. I've invited you into this robust, flourishing relationship with me. And now, let me give you insight into how this happens. Listen diligently to me with what is good. Not our dead-end way of life and our dead-end efforts, but listen to me. And there's a sense of diligence here. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear. It goes on with these sorts of images here. Seek, listen. It is an active listening here. It's an active seeking. All over Scripture, it talks about how we are to wait upon the Lord. That those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up like wings, like eagles. They will walk and not be weary. They will run and not grow faint. Those sorts of verses are everywhere. And this idea of waiting upon the Lord, that is not a passive thing. It is not I'm just going to wait here and kind of go about my own stuff and God will show up when he's ready to tell me stuff. No, it is an active passivity before the face of God. For us, that we are to incline our ears. We are to listen. David last week preached a great sermon out of the book of James. And if you remember, the exhortation was be what? Be quick to listen, be slow to speak, and even slower to anger. That is why, those are wise words straight from the lips of God Himself. To listen. Here. He says, and I will make you an everlasting covenant, and my steadfast and sure love for David will be revealed. We make a switch here. God says here to us as we're listening to this, I will make a covenant with y'all, he says here. This is a plural you. But then he shifts and he starts talking about a specific individual who will be a covenant here. And he talks about David here. And this is hundreds and hundreds of years after David is dead that this is written. Hundreds and hundreds of years before the son of David shows up in Matthew, Jesus himself. But it is a prophetic reminder to God's people that there is one who is coming who will be the covenant, who will be the agreement between God and humanity. Here, and that is Jesus Christ. And he's right sandwiched right here in the middle of come and I will give you rich food and all of this. It is the person of Jesus. He says here, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God that he will abundantly pardon. A couple of things here. This is the repentance part for us. When we're lost in the woods, what is the first thing that you're to do? If you've been a Boy Scout or Girl Scout, what's the first thing you do when you're lost? Yes. You stop. Thank you. Great answer. We stop. We stop going forward. We don't try to say, well, if I try a little bit harder this way, maybe I'll find the way. No, you stop. That's the very first thing that we do when we're called to repent. Stop doing things the way we've been doing them. Now, as a church, I'm going to say it isn't stop doing the well. It isn't stop doing, Bible telling for the kids. It isn't stop preaching. It isn't stop any of those things. But it's stop being the way we're being. I think that is what Vital Church Ministries came and told us. There's a better way. There's a way that is life and not a way that is death. When we're running out of fear and anxiety versus love there. So that is a word to us that we were given. And I think we would be very wise to hear as being from the Lord there. But he goes on. The Isaiah goes on, and he says this, for my ways are not your ways. If we look at this, he's saying, listen, those of you who are wicked, those of you who are unrighteous, stop doing this so that I can what? I can show you compassion, so that I can forgive all your ways, so that you can come back to me. This is not, God is not like us. If someone's doing me wrong, if someone's doing, against my family or something like that, I'm wanting to give an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I don't know about you all. But I go on defensive mode here, or offensive mode like that. But God says, no. So that, do this, repent, so that I can show you compassion and love. Because I'm not like you. My ways are higher and better than your ways. And one of the ways that is, and this goes to what I mentioned earlier, the reality that we try to fill our lives with stuff and accomplishments and busyness, that I think part of this, of understanding God's ways, is that we, modern Americans, who are so connected with everything and get Twitter feeds and know exactly what's going on around the world within minutes and are always trying to get more done with the time we have to slow down. Because I think Scripture tells us you must slow down to catch up with God. That God is not moving in the same way or the same direction that we are. He is always initiating. He is always the first word to us. And we have to slow down in order to catch up. Because here's the deal. And I don't want to be trite here. This whole thing is about relationship. We want God to fix us or to fix our situations or maybe to fix our church. And God wants us to know him as we are known. And we only get that way when we slow down and are courageous and brave enough to do the terrifying thing of letting ourselves be known by each other. You can read, and you may see in the news, where this sort of epidemic, and healthcare folks are noticing this, in a world and in a time and a generation, we're the most connected generation in history. One of the biggest sicknesses, one of the biggest mental health issues is loneliness. We are lonely. And the very thing that we desire, to someone to know us, someone to understand us and just accept me as I am, we are terrified of opening up and letting folks in. Because they say, man, if you really knew who Dave Moody was, you wouldn't like me. You wouldn't accept me. There would be shame on my part. There would be guilt. There would be all this stuff. But when we understand that we are loved beyond anything that we could hope for, that little Ezra, these words that we said are true before any of us were aware that God was at work dying for us so that we might live, And he has nothing but good things for us. In your life, wherever you're at right now, as well as us corporately, as well as the church in the U.S., so that we can be a help and a hope in our fractured, almost beyond comprehension society that we live in now, and the divides. So to be known, we've got to slow down to the speed of knowing. And so that's where David's sermon comes in so well, of listening to each other. Not listening to then give a response, but just listening to understand. It doesn't require a response, but to give dignity. No, to recognize the dignity that is in the person across from you, or the people that are across from you, in whatever situation we're in there. Because God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than ours, and they're slower than ours. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, and it will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it and succeed in everything that I intend. I grew up in Kansas, all of you know, and this time, October, is when farmers are out planting wheat, okay? They're out getting stuff ready for next year. And, you know, they're out there and they're planting it. And then November, and then December, and then January, and February. And you look out, you look on those fields that have been empty for 4 months, and you think, oh, there's nothing going on there. It is dead. I mean, it is just dead as a doornail. But April, the right season, it is a verdant field, green with wheat that eventually will turn golden yellow, and they'll harvest in June, in July, June mostly, where I'm from. And that's how God works. He is not a software engineer that downloads software that immediately your operating system is different. He is not a microwave, but he is a farmer. That works in season slowly, and it's his word that works. And so as we incline our ears, as we seek him, as we diligently listen to him, we're changed. It transforms us. We are different people, and fruit comes forth in our lives, human flourishing fruit, 30, 60, 100 fold, we're told and promised. And then at the very end here, we're promised joy and new creation. You shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The very inanimate objects, the very living objects will shout with joy at the salvation that is coming. Instead of the thorn shall come the cypress, and instead of the briar shall come the myrtle. Genesis 3, the curse is being undone. And the sad story has become untrue on the cross. And this is the promise that we have. This is the promise. Now, this is big word here, eschatological. It's we're waiting for this until the new heavens and new earth. But even now, we're promised that God is a God who is here with us. And that psalm that I quoted in my prayer is so true. Psalm 27, go and read that. The very last two verses, though. I am confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. O Israel, O people of God, wait upon the Lord. Wait. Put your hope in him. Wait upon the Lord. Our confidence that in this life we will see the goodness of the Lord. I don't know what your marriages are like. I don't know where your relationship with your kids are. I don't know if the months are always 6 days longer than your paycheck. I know the difficulty that this life is, and I've mentioned three. There are innumerable things more. But wait upon the Lord. Pray to him. Take these things to him in your life, these fears that you have about the future. Take those to him. Act out of love. Understand his love. And see if he doesn't show us the goodness of who he is in the land of the living. We don't have to wait for its full completion to experience tastes of it now. I suspect every one of us could testify to God's work in our lives at some point. But even here as a church, when we've been given some hard words that sting a bit, but we're given them by a loving Father who loves his children, who is simply disciplining us to where we will be all that he intends for us to be. So that is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a God who loves us, and that you always initiate, that you are at work in us and through us if we would just stop and slow down and pay attention and just then walk easily into what you have for us. Hard things maybe, but good things. So, Lord, we would ask that you would seal your word in our hearts. And where, for my brothers and sisters, where this is applicable in their lives, in their individual journeys, I pray that you would reveal that to them. And certainly for our session, as we seek to clear out the white noise and all the agendas, all the stuff, and to sit like a newly born babe at its mother's breast, waiting for you with quietness and rest is our salvation. So, Lord, I pray that for session. For my brothers and sisters here, for all of us in our journeys, Lord, that way, and that we would be a people that would slow down to catch up with you, and that would be being known by each other, and that this community would be life-giving for those whom you would bring in through our invitation, through our friendships, and Lord, through our going out, that it would be life-giving, flourishing, as messy as we are as human beings. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.